Time now for the Six Rings Postgame Show, presented by McFarlane Energy. Breaking down everything Patriots. Now, here's Fitzy and Hart on WEEI.
I thought he showed a lot of poise. I thought he went out there and controlled the huddle, got those guys out of the huddle, and once again made some plays. And it's definitely encouraging. You know, as you know, from a team-wide perspective right now, we let him down. You know, it was his first game, and I feel like I let him down. I'm sure all the coaches feel like we let everyone down, and it's got to be better.
Hour number two of the Six Rings Postgame Show rolling on here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. That was Gerard Mayo in his postgame remarks saying that he believes that they let Drake May down in his debut. It was far from flawless. It wasn't perfect by any means or stretch, but you really couldn't ask for much more out of the kid. Over with you when you add up his passing yards and his running yards, over 280 yards, responsible for 3 touchdowns. Yes, there were also 3 turnovers as well, but by and large, Drake May was not, if you think you had a problem today out there, if there were issues with your New England Patriots, they did not begin with, nor did they end with Drake May. Andy, back to the phones we go. Justin, he's down at the stadium. He's also frustrated with his Patriots. Hi, Justin. In case anyone happened to hear that, if you were listening on a stream or on the Odyssey app where we were not able to censor what our previous caller had to say, we apologize. We do not condone that kind of language. The thoughts and sentiments portrayed and shared by our callers do not represent the host, the producers, or anyone here at WEEI or the Odyssey company at large. And also, sir, please never call this radio station again.
And you're a terrible
jackass.
Yeah.
You're a terrible,
stupid.
You are a terrible human being for saying that.
I hate people. And people ask me why I hate people.
Sorry.
That's why I hate
that
people.
That was terrible.
Right,
I apologize for anyone that, and if anyone is trying to guess, please just let's move on to the next call.
Let's just move on.
Yep.
And Gerard Mayo is struggling as the head coach of the New England Patriots. He's got a 5-game losing streak. Why? Because his team isn't very good and he's a rookie coach. And a lot of coaches, as he has pointed out, go through this early in their tenure. Can we just leave it at that? Do we not need to be ignorant idiots?
Boy, thanks for validating some out of 495 concerns about Boston and Boston sports fandom, guy. All right. Ryan is in the car. Hopefully Ryan's call is better than Justin's. Hi, Ryan. Ryan.
Me?
All right, so that
what the hell is
I don't know if that one if we were able to get that one. I think we did. So, you know what, actually,
why don't we just not take calls for a while?
Here's the problem. Now, because people, what is wrong with people? I just need to, I don't care if anyone hears this clip. I don't care if this goes viral. What is wrong with you people? What the hell is wrong with you people? Honest
like
to God,
person,
honest, it wasn't.
To be fair.
It wasn't.
I'm pretty sure it was. It sounded a lot like the same person. I find it hard to
Andy, here's Andy, here's unless this guy had 2 phones in his car.
Yeah.
They were on hold respectively for one was on hold for over 30 minutes, the other one on hold for 35 minutes, we'll say.
I'm going to say it was the same car with 2 different cell phones.
Okay.
And the same jackass.
Honestly, I get it. There are people that are angry about certain things in the world. There are people that don't share our same benevolent worldview. There are just twisted MFs out there. All I know is there are some really, really stupid people. There are some really, really painfully stupid people in this world. Don't call this radio station. If you have racist views, if you have stupid things you want to say, if you want to make somebody feel bad for something that they cannot control, if you just want to be an absolute ass, do it on your own time. Find a different platform. Start a feed. Get a YouTube page. See how long you can get it up there. You're taking First of all, you're taking away our good time to connect with our fans and talk about something that we enjoy, and that we are more than happy to share our time discussing. If you want to be an absolute ass, do it somewhere else. Do it on your own time. Do not call this radio station. I'm sure there's other people, narrow-minded, like-minded, and hate-filled, that you can go share your stupid thoughts with elsewhere. God,
can't even take. Part of the fun of doing this is talking to people and giving them an outlet, a forum, so that they can actually share their feelings. They're disappointed. They say, we like this. This is an outlet. People work really hard all week long, not only just so we can bring you the show, so that people actually have a forum where they can where they can enjoy their game, and then if they're frustrated, they have people that'll take their calls. It's a two-way dialogue. It's not a place for you to strap on a pointy white hat and make people feel terribly about ethnic heritage or race. End rant, but also F off. You know what? I do know Tim in Hanover. I know he's a nice person. Tim, let's see. Joe, why don't you give me one more call so I can redeem my faith in humanity and our listenership. Hello, Tim.
It's not a place for you to strap on a pointy white hat.
Tim.
Timmy.
Feel terribly about ethnic heritage or race.
Tim's a little behind.
All right, Tim's behind now. I can't go to Tim. All right, I'm done with the calls now. I was really looking forward to talking to people on about today's game because our quarterback had a pretty impressive debut and made some mistakes and was really good at times. And now instead I got a bunch of lunatics calling into the radio show, blowing up our good time. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I'm gonna choose to not allow one idiot.
Yeah,
and I truly
or a couple
believe
idiots.
It's one idiot.
Sorry, I just needed to get that off my chest. That was jarring. Sorry. That was really unfortunate.
I think the one thing we all understand, the more you're on social media, the more you're on the internet, the more you're in this world, there are jackasses out there, bad people, crazy people, but that doesn't necessarily represent the majority and most of the people. And most people right now that are listening to this, and I think leaving Gillette Stadium and watched a football game, are happy and optimistic about what they saw, enjoyed a football game, which is sports entertainment, which is what this is supposed to be, and want to talk about Drake May and his future. And that is the story of the day, not some jackass on our.
We have moved on. We won't be discussing any further.
Correct. All right. Now we're going to talk about Drake May and his first appearance.
Yes, we will.
On the afternoon show on Monday afternoon between 2 and 6 with Arkandon Hart.
Exactly.
I am looking forward to that as much as any interview I think I've ever done. Because
me too.
The 22-year-old rookie with some swag coming out there, as Pop Douglas says. And I don't think we can overemphasize how big a spot this was. I thought Steve Buckley, if you listen to the press conference, did a really good job saying, Drake, this is like literally one of the biggest days of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And your team lost, which is hard, but you kind of threw a few touchdowns. And I love that he said, well, my family's all about wins. So from my family, I'm not going to hear like, hey, you threw three touchdowns. It's going to be, you lost the game. Why'd you lose the game? What can you do better to not lose the game next time? I think this guy is absolutely wired and skilled to be the Patriots quarterback for the next decade plus. I found him
to be delightfully even keeled in his post-game remarks as
That's
well.
That's who he is.
Yeah,
That's who
I
he
really,
is.
Really enjoyed the fact that like he didn't sound too up, didn't sound too low. Now, you know, he'll be a little bit disappointed, but he too probably understands that this is a tough spot as well, and he probably is pretty proud of how well he performed. And he did mention before that he had to sort of like get talked down or like they had to sort of like take a little bit of the geek out of him. Jacoby Brissett did a good job of that as well, and shout out Jacoby Brissett just for being a complete gentleman all the way through this entire process, Andy, and you know, now actually mentoring and being there for Drake May, watching somebody else take his job, watching somebody else be where he wants to be. And here we are mentioning on the show, and we'll go into it further later on in the program, about how they probably should have put Drake May in last week for sure, if not maybe now, when you see how well the kid played in the face of one of the best pass rushes in the NFL, an excellent secondary, good linebackers, just an excellent defense overall that has rattled the cages of a lot of quarterbacks. Drake May has the best stats against the Houston Texans defense of any quarterback this year. It really
And guess what? When you have a four or a five game losing streak and you're coming off a four win season and you played a horrific football game, whether you want to acknowledge it or not as Patriot Nation, it's okay to be like, this was kind of a feel good day, even though we got our butts whooped. The old school days, there were no moral victories. There were no, oh, we lost by 20, but I feel good about some individual performance. That's not where you are right now. You're looking for hope. You're looking for foundation. You're looking for future. And in one person, in that 1-0 jersey, out there today, as he said, in the Reds, he liked the Reds out there today, you found hope. You found a future. You found optimism. So I don't know how people could not be excited about what they saw today. I really don't. This is what you've wanted to see for a while now. And I would also say, because I get a few of these tweets, oh yeah, I got the best quarterback since they had a Pro Bowler named Mac Jones. No. This guy is more skilled and more likable than Mac Jones ever was. Whether you people want to admit it or not, this guy is what I want in my franchise QBs. This guy seems like a fun modern QB who, is he going to make mistakes? Absolutely. But the opportunity for you to enjoy entertaining football on a modern level, because I feel like we didn't play modern football for the first five games. Now you're playing modern football. Now you're playing like 2024 football and what it takes to play 2024 football with Drake May. Now, Alex Van Pelt, you got some work to do. Elliot Wolf, you got some work to do, but you got one. You got the big one. You got the one. You think you have a quarterback. And that's a massive, massive thing for a football team.
Exactly. Exactly. And I want to get to what you think about what you saw out of Alex Van Pelt today, because Scheim and I, in our conversation Thursday evening on the radio, and as we continued it yesterday, and we spoke with Andrew Callahan from the Boston Herald, we all thought, as much as this would be a day, Andy, where we could learn what we think we have in Drake May, I think the early returns are, we may have something. I thought this was also a big day for Alex Van Pelt, in terms of how he could call the game, how he could try to set Drake up for success, how he could keep the Texans maybe on their heels or keep them guessing as well. I'd like to, before we get to our Drake May report card later with Scheim, I would love to hear what you have to say about Alex Van Pelt's play calling. Hopefully we'll be able to trust the callers to welcome them back into the program later on as well, because this show, as much as we enjoy breaking things down, is also for you guys. We love you Patriots fans. We love our listenership. We just don't like jackasses. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Keep the text coming in. Hit us up on the socials. And if you need an update on everything else trending in the wild world of sports, well, lucky you, listener, because here's Joe Braverman.
This is the number 32 Red Zone offense, first and goal. The Brock Jacobs, that's a touchdown. Hunter Henry grabs a second touchdown pass thrown by Drake May. That for 6 yards.
I just got done, Kevin, talking to you about play action and how you want to slow down the pass rush and how you want to get the defense to freeze. This time, Hunter Henry blocks on the end of the line like he's staying in protection. Then he releases late to the flat. That's why no one's out there.
Touchdown number two of the day. There were three in total for rookie quarterback Drake May, making his first start in the NFL. And your old pals, Nick Fitzy Stevens and Andy Jumbo Hart, amongst many, were very impressed by and large with his performance. And as we said time and time again, on many day parts, podcasts, at the stadium, in the parking lots, and beyond, if you left today's game with a glimmer of hope, if you got a peek at the future, if you saw something that made you say, wow, I think we got something here, then today, even though it is a 20-point defeat in the loss column, and history will show that the Texans were the better of the two teams on this day, this actually is, for lack of better phrasing, Andy, this is a win for Pats Nation.
This is the first day of the future. And even if you're one of those people that just wants to take a victory lap, which I'm sure Scheim will do later when we talk to him, and there's others out there, I told you so when they drafted him, or I told you he should have started week one, or I told you he should have played last week against Miami, blah, blah, blah. Even if you want to be one of those people, I get a little bit of those type of people in me sometimes. I like to tell you, this is exactly what I thought Drake May was going to be, and this is exactly the type of potential I thought he had. I also will pull back and say, this can't be the best of Drake May.
No.
This just needs to be day one of Drake May, and I don't think it will be, because I'm a believer, like his head coach, that experience matters, and as you go through things, as the line gets better, as the weapons around him get better, things will improve along with his own evolution as a quarterback moving forward. But today is a day where you should absolutely be happy as a Patriots fan, because this year, the head coach told you before the season started, this year wasn't necessarily about wins and losses. The
Correct.
Wins will come. Maybe this year, maybe next year. He said it's about setting a foundation of the future. There is no bigger foundation on the planet This is now the biggest foundation for a mansion being built in all of football. It's Drake May. You joined a club. You know those Commanders, the feel-good Commanders that are suddenly like the talk of the football world? They're not a toxic organization. Their coaches aren't dumb. Like, nothing is bad. And that all got changed with Jaden Daniels. The Bears, you see the Bears putting a whooping on the Jags across the pond.
Oh, they did indeed.
I mean, that's what happens with Caleb Williams. There's other pieces. I'm not saying it's the be-all, end-all. But when you have the quarterback, you literally play in a different world in the National Football League. And the Patriots may be entering that world out of the darkness and into the light.
DJ Lifted, who's currently watching in our Twitch stream, and you can join us over there if you'd like, as well as twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. How far have we fallen when a 20-point loss becomes a moral victory?
Pretty damn far.
Well, we've fallen.
Have you paid attention?
Fallen a little bit. This was we called it May Day because we weren't sending up signal flares for help. Although we probably should for certain aspects of this team, but this was our first chance to see Drake May. And I would say, while he was far from perfect, he passed the test. I would almost be a little alarmed if Drake May went out there, threw for 230-plus yards, 3 touchdowns, didn't get sacked, didn't have a strip sack, didn't fumble, didn't throw a pick. He needs to fall. He needs to stumble. He needs to make mistakes so that he can learn and improve. That's the way anything works, let alone playing quarterback in the NFL. Sorry, that's just how it goes.
And again, how far did we fall? We fell to the point where a first-round quarterback that was drafted here failed. We had to do it again. We won 4 games. We had the 3rd pick in the draft. We were 1-4, and we were coming off, in my opinion, jointly with the Miami Dolphins, the worst football game I've ever watched at any level of football. Yeah. That's how far we had fallen. And guess what? We got up. We were like Stallone. It's not if you could take a punch. It's you got to get back up.
It ain't about how hard you can hit and keep going. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
We just moved forward today. We had been taking punches and lumps.
Took a step forward today. Yes, we did, Andy. Well said.
Thank you. Adrian!
Now well, we didn't do it yet. I mean,
we found a quarterback!
Forward. Yo, Adrian, I think we have a quarterback!
We got up off the mat. That's what we did today. We got up. We had been on the mat. We were like one of those bloody slow motion, like spit and sweat and drool blood bouncing off the mats. And now we got up and we were like, the mouthpiece is in. We got the standing 8 count and we're about ready to slug it out again.
And you know who's very happy that he woke up, or rather listened in today and got up for today's game? Usually we hear from him later on in the program, but today he's calling in a bit earlier. Jake from Australia, Andy, one of our favorites here on the Six Rings. Hi, Jake.
Hey, good morning.
Yes, indeed. Jake, what'd you think, buddy?
It was worth the wake up. It was definitely worth the wake up.
True. After what you had to watch previously, this was borderline a Super Bowl.
Wow.
This was delightful to see that we actually have some interesting odds to look forward to.
Because, yeah, that's exactly right, Jake, because not only does this game entertain you today, it increases your hope level for every game moving forward. Like, next week, as Drake May said, going across the long flight across the pond, you're hopeful that you could actually go out and beat the Jags.
Yes, you can.
It's a possibility.
Anything is possible!
It is indeed. Well, Jake, I'm glad that you woke up for the game today. I'm glad you saw that glimmer of help, that glimmer of hope, rather.
Of hell?
We got a glimmer of hell.
That was last week.
That last week was absolutely hell. And yes, they probably should have started Drake May sooner than later. But, Jake, are you going to get yourself a Drake May jersey all the way down there in Australia?
I reckon I'm going to have to.
Yeah.
I withheld Mac Jones, but I reckon it's going to be May.
It's going to be May.
I like the way you put that. All right, have a great day, Jake. Appreciate you calling into the postgame show.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers, mate.
Drake May is making people happy literally around the globe. Literally.
Yeah. Drake May literally has had a global impact today, Andy. That's a beautiful
thing.
Do you
think he knows that?
Do you think he
really has like a feel for that? That he's now the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots, and because of that, he is now the unofficial leader of Patriot Nation, and the sun never sets on Patriot Nation. UK Patriots fans are jacked. Mm-hmm. People in Australia are jacked.
You got to remind him tomorrow, Andy.
That's That's
I'm
right.
Ask him that tomorrow. If he really has a feel for that, or if he just has a feel for his brother saying, "You're just a bitch."
Yeah, oh, I know. There's nothing more humbling than having three possibly more athletic, older, bigger brothers than you. But I will say this. Drake May got his first taste of the—he's already got his first taste of the NFL. He got his first taste of his home fans today. First start in the NFL. Next week at Wembley, he's going to be a part of a scene. I've told you many a time on the podcast, and I know you traveled over there with the team a couple times as well. There is nothing like playing in front of 90,000 people at Wembley.
It's awesome.
It's dynamite. And oh, he's going to love it.
He made the NFL Wallow jerseys that they were selling over there at the NFL Pro
Shopper. By the way, what was up with all the Taysom Hill jerseys?
It's weird.
Yeah, I thought of all the jerseys, they had Hill in black and in white.
Yeah.
That was odd.
I don't know. I didn't know what to make of that because who buys a Taysom Hill jersey unless you're a passionate Saints fan?
Saints fan or just, you know, love two-way players?
Like all these young kids. All these young kids that are into collecting jerseys, which is a thing now. Lots of kids like to buy lots of jerseys.
I know.
Tell me about it. I know from experience, a lot of experience in that area. But usually it's the star, you know, CJ Stroud, for example. That's a jersey you can understand, like hot new second-year quarterback. Taysom Hill, jack of all trades, backup quarterback, tight end, fullback, running back, whatever the hell he is.
Before we jump on the next call, Andy, did you walk away from today's game impressed by the Texans?
I would say
they're a pretty good team.
They're a good team. I don't think they're a great team. I don't think they're quite there yet. But I will say we didn't really see the full Texans. Nico Collins is a big part of that offense. Joe Mixon was just getting back. Now, obviously, he had an impact significantly on the game. But I think they're a good, not great team. I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender. I know some people, they were sort of a trendy, popular, potential Super Bowl caliber team. I don't think they are that just yet. I think they have a little room for growth.
John is in the car. He'd actually like to talk about what I asked you before the break, AVP, and a little bit more. Hi, John. How are you?
Hey, game balls for moral victories for everybody. It was super exciting. I
care for your sarcasm. This is two times in a row you've called my show with sarcasm.
Sorry, Hardo. You know, I think we do have to retire the Hardo name because it's like you're telling everybody be happy because we have a quarterback.
You now play in the NFL again. You weren't in the NFL last week.
Also, I'm really disappointed in the offensive coordinator. I wish he had half the excitement for the quarterback that you did going into the game because I thought starting off the game, run right. Run center was probably was a fireable offense. If you supposedly have the energy shifter that you got in Drake May, who is fantastic, they've been pumping all week and Saturday how the energy has shifted and he's changed everything and everybody's playing different. And you run at the weakest part of your line. You run second down. You run at the center who's been here for 3 days. Like, what kind of play calling is that? I'm sorry. But that guy needs to go ASAP or take away his play calling skills. Also, Drake May is a good quarterback. See, I separated the two things.
See, that's probably my favorite call of the day.
That's a good call there.
He engaged with you quickly, got in and out minute 15. Yep. He made sure he parsed out so that we could, you know, if we want to actually save it as a soundbite. Drake May is a very good quarterback. We knew that from college. Looks like the pro game is probably not too much because that is one of the better pass rushes, one of the better defenses in the NFL. And whether they were playing back in his zone, soft and preventish type defense at times, he still found ways to pick it apart and made the Houston Texans go back on offense. Now, of course, they would rip off 54-yard runs for touchdowns when Houston tried all over again. But Drake May can't also, not to go full Giselle, but my boyfriend, he cannot make the touchdown and then prevent the touchdown too. Like, he's not Travis Hunter.
A little wordy.
All right. Okay.
Tighten it up, dog.
It's in workshop form. I apologize. But that's not his job. His job was to try to advance the ball and score. And he did that but more often than not and better than I think a lot of us expected today as well. Yes, I'm with him. The last week, Andy, I heard right there as I was down on the field level, I heard it was a run, sack to start off the opening drive. And the fans, the boo birds came out. Got to say, the cheers were thunderous when May ran onto the field. And when they did, as John just said, student body left, student body up the middle, and then attempted a pass, which he sailed out of bounds because nobody was open. Boo Birds came out instantly, and that was not for Drake May, obviously. It was for Alex Van Pelt and the state of the Patriots offense at large.
Yeah, I think he has struggled. As I said, I think he's a really nice man. And he wasn't helped by Antonio Gibson. I thought he danced way too much early. He was like hopping left, hopping right, like get upfield. Your line's not that good. You're not Le'Veon Bell, and this isn't the Steelers O-line where you can look for a hole and then hit it. But I personally absolutely would have started the game with a wide zone boot, little 5-yard pass. And I think they actually started the second series that way and got the offense going a little bit. To me, that's how you do it with a young quarterback, and that's the best way to get rid of his nerves. I think people think the best way to get rid of a quarterback's nerves is to hand the ball off. I actually disagree. Until you're a quarterback and you throw the ball, I think your nerves remain. So a wide zone boot on the first play of the game is how I would have started, because then I think if Drake May gets like 5 or 8 yards in the flat, he's like, okay, all right, yeah, I'm a quarterback again. Yeah. I'm doing what I do.
Take a quick pop and maybe get those nerves rattled out
of him. Yes. So I don't think Alex Van Pelt has done a very good job. I don't want to pile on. Like, there's part of me that's like, hey, what does AVP stand for? A very poor offensive coordinator or something. I'm not doing that, though. I'm not doing that. I'm just going to keep it above board and say he has a lot of limitations, because every excuse we make for the quarterback is always an excuse for the offensive coordinator. The line stinks. The receivers stink. The quarterback, whatever. All those things are excuses for Alex Van Pelt. But my simple question is, remember when Bill Belichick used to say, he went through this whole thing, I think it was during the Sony Michel era. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he groaned, he did that. But he said, you know, you watch a play, a running play, and you say it's blocked for a certain number of yards. And does the guy get those yards? And then does he get you more yards? And I would use the same barometer for Alex Van Pelt. His offense has the ability to do certain things and has the limitations of certain things. Does he get the most out of his offense? I don't believe he does.
I don't think he's a lot offensively. Score more points, and giving up fewer would help us too.
Yep, that's true, Bill. That's true. But I don't think Alex Van Pelt has maximized his talent, his units, his everything this year. And I just, why am I led to believe it's going to change? Okay, week one, he's complaining he doesn't have the plays on his call sheet. Then he puts them on that for week two. And then he's talking about how some of the calls against the Jets still haunt him. And then we have questionable 2-minute drive to end the second quarter in multiple games. Then we have drives getting the red zone, questionable play call. I will say today was going down. What are we doing today? They had that little run. Then they got a pass. They got going. Obviously, then it ignited. He got the Pop Douglas play. Then he gets the touchdown to Booty. Nice 2-minute drive. Was Alex Van Pelt better on that, or was the quarterback better on that? Well, I know the quarterback was better. I know the quarterback was more productive. Am I to believe Alex Van Pelt has gotten better? We're 6 games in, correct? 1-5.
This was game 6, yes.
So you're more than a third of the way through the season. Do you feel like he is hitting his stride? Is he getting the most out of this offense? I don't know that you can make that argument. In fact, I think it's very easy to make the counter-argument.
I would also like to say that I don't even really still know exactly what the hallmarks of his particular offense are. In the Twitch chat, guy from the 207, the season really began today. See, I'm glad there are people out there that
you're
feel
damn
that
right.
way.
Because the era began today.
A page one rewrite. It was a hard reboot on the season as well. Now you can start forming your opinions on what you think of the team going forward. Forget about take them to the hill week one. Forget about losing the home opener. Forget about all the games in between where they get whacked by the Niners and the Jets and should have beat the Dolphins last week. We can't control any of that. What we know is the first game of Drake May looked pretty encouraging. Now we got to hope that the rest of the team rises up to the tide that is Drake May as he hopefully brings the team to the promised land. One more call before we catch a break. Tim is in Hanover. He called back. Hi, Tim. How are you?
50, how you doing?
Good to hear from you, my guy. What'd you think today?
I want to say you're awesome, man. Oh, you are Jesus. Totally awesome, and I know you keep it real. I know when you were asked yesterday, I listened to yesterday's program, and I heard you saying, okay, I'm going to take Houston, but I want May to do well. And the same with your boy there, Andy. Andy, I'm now a make Dre guy, and you know I've always said every time I call the phone, I was never a make Dre guy. But you know what? He's in the echelon of all the other good quarterbacks that the other teams choose.
You're damn
now
right.
Now we can go forward. He played a great game today, man. I tell you what, he did dynamite. Even though we made some mistakes, this kid can play, and now he is, and I'm on board with you, Andy. So let me tell you, from here on out, like I told you, the scouts for the Patriots got to be scouting these guys out. Number one has got an X right now, and Booty got a check. And from here on, get the guys we need to help this kid be who he is, and the New England Patriots can be whoever they have to be going forward, like they were before.
Thanks.
Appreciate the call, Tim. Thank you. See, he's Andy. He's a Make Dre fan.
He's a big Make Dre.
Now we know his alter identity.
I'm Make Dre. I'm over here.
Hello, I am Make Dre.
I am not Drake May. I'm Make Dre.
That was kind of great.
That was a good call, though. He was called the other day, and he said, and I agree with him on this, and it's something I think Arcan and I are going to do for a segment one of these days, but kind of assess the roster. And as Tim put it, put an X through somebody if you don't think they're part of the future, and a check mark next to who you do. And I do wonder, is Booty a check mark? He just gave Booty a check mark. Is Booty definitively a check mark?
Right here in the Twitch chat as well. Thornton out, Booty in. I like it. That's a plus for the team.
Yeah, I mean, it feels dramatic after one day, one play. I do think Thornton's out. He seems like he is not happy. I know there was the whole social media thing, and, you know, his play time has decreased along the way. I just, other than Pop Douglas, KJ Osborne, did you notice, was a DNPCD today. He was dressed, he was healthy, and he was scratched.
Would you say that's a classic case of what would you say you do here? I saw walking into the stadium today, two fans making their way to the front entrance by the plaza and the pro shop. They had matching brand new KJ Osborne jerseys.
I wanted to
stop them and ask, are you family?
Hey, Mr. and Mrs. Osborne, how are you?
Are you cousins? Are you good friends, neighbors? Because there were two people, that's as many catches as the guy has on the season as well. He hasn't done anything. What's going on? Why can't this guy make an impact? You got Kirk Cousins telling me this guy can be better than a wide receiver three. Are you sure, Kirk?
Yeah, I'm becoming more and more sure he isn't better than that, and he is kind of who he is, and if they have injuries, he'll probably get some run. But it's funny because the offensive line, I think we all agree, stinks, and they didn't address it properly, and there's no guys here. You know, you got on Wenu, you might have Laden Robinson moving for whatever. But the wide receiver position...
Scratched today, I believe. He was inactive, yes?
Yes, inactive. Okay. But the wide receiver position, you people... We're very excited. You people on PFF told me that between Jalen Polk and Javon Baker, they had their wide receiver one and two of the future. Like, the position was set. I don't feel great about either guy. One guy's a healthy scratch, inactive in Javon Baker, and the other guy looks like old hoof hands or something. He couldn't catch if you gave him a frickin' catcher's mitt.
617-779-7937 is your telephone number. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. We'll be joined by Mego at 6 o'clock. Shime calling in a little bit later with the first ever Drake May report card. More of your calls. Andy will continue with the thumbs up, thumbs down.
Your thumb right here.
Hey, easy now. It's not that kind of show. We'll get a little further in the weeds with AVP, and I want to talk about what part of the team you think really needs the most work, because I think a lot of people would say offensive line. But Andy, the performance from today's defense was distressing, to say the least. This is the Six Rings Postgame Show with Fitzy and Hart, live on WEEI.
Defensively, I would say just the fundamentals of just tackling and our run fits have to improve. They have to improve. And I told all those guys, I said, you should feel like crap today. Like, you should feel like crap. You take away those two long runs. We had two runs over 50 yards. And so, I mean, it's just not winning football.
Coach Gerard Mayo putting his team, dare I say Andy, on blast right there. Telling the reporters pool postgame at Gillette following the 41-21 loss to the Texans that he told his defense they should feel like crap. I'm pretty sure after giving up 41 points, whether it was through turnovers, interceptions, fumbles, strip sacks, whatever, and, of course, giving up multiple 50-plus yard runs, yeah, I'm sure they probably felt pretty crappy. But sometimes, Andy, bad games call for hard decisions. Sometimes rough times call for rougher condition. Call for, you know, rougher discipline. We can't, even though Elliot Wolf told us in the offseason this current administration would be about quote unquote fewer hard ass vibes. I think we're going to need a little hard assing down there.
Yeah, I think that's accurate, especially on the defense, because you do have some veterans and some holdovers. Now, some of them are new, and there's some turnover, and there's some injuries, and there's some fill-ins. You know, Christian Ellis is playing more than most people probably thought Christian Ellis would be playing, and some guys are being asked to step up. You got the Roy character that I'm still trying to figure out his first name, the guy with his two sacks now. Roy. Christian, what's his first name? Something Roy. I don't know. Rob Roy.
It's definitely Rob
probably
Roy.
Probably Rob, right? Probably mm-hmm. Rob Roy.
Yep.
But no, the
Scottish
defense,
legend, Rob Roy.
This team wanted to, correct me if I'm wrong, but we were told this team was going to lean on its defense and lean on its running game, and today they couldn't run the ball and they couldn't play defense, and they basically had to put it all on the shoulders of the passing game and their rookie quarterback who was making his NFL debut. That is not ideal.
No, it's not. It's not ideal, and while we have made it a point now for literally years to address the offensive line issues, the glaring lack of a left tackle on the team, now it seems we're having right tackle issues as well, as DeMontre Jacobs had to go over there. Good Lord, playing for the Patriots. What's more dangerous, Andy, to wear a captain's C on your chest or play offensive line for the Patriots? Because one after another seems to just fall by the wayside.
I'll add another option. Playing behind said offensive line is more dangerous.
Honest to gosh. Honest to Lord.
You got to laugh, because if you don't, you'd cry.
Between, all right, so what would you say right now is a bigger issue? Offensive line.
Yes.
Or defense?
Offensive yes. line.
Really?
Always offensive line. Always. The offensive line stinks. Like, the offensive line can't get any continuity. Guys get hurt. You know, it was just to the point where we were like, I don't know how good Vidarian Lowe is, but he's our left tackle. When he's out there, we're better. And then he's hurt again, and he's going to get an MRI tomorrow and see how long he's out. And we got Zach Thomas, not that one. Michael Jordan, not that one. We got all these not that ones.
Ben Brown, probably not that one.
Right. I'm sure there's a famous Ben Brown out there. It's not that one. It's a guy that took a red eye from the frickin' Raiders practice squad.
He literally signed on Thursday, and he was starting on Sunday.
Yes.
Mother of Pearl, how desperate have times gotten?
Tells you how bad Nick Leverett is. He was also dressed and did not play.
Yeah, he was a little dinged up still, though. I know City So is... That ankle must be really, really bad, because he got in for, what, a game and a half, and now we haven't seen Heiner Lowe.
He's
him.
Gone. It's a mess.
He's and mostly done.
Don't worry. You know, the savior, Cole Strange, is coming.
You know what did you hear this week what they're thinking about doing with Cole Strange?
Put him at center.
Putting him at center. Actually,
we've been talking
Ben
about
Brown
that since camp.
Yeah, well, now they may do it. We may need a fullback, too, just to make sure these poor
running
backs.
I think we should move Cole Strange to fullback, but... I'm not sure Cole Strange can play offensive line in the National Football League. Also, don't know if he can snap the ball. We got a quarterback that can't take snaps because he's used to the shotgun. Now we're going to have a center that we're not sure he can snap it. I'm sure there'll be no problems with those exchanges. No, I'm sure that'll be all fine. Nothing to see here. Move along, folks.
Hey, what happened to the positivity, Andy?
You guys started it. Just ask me Drake May questions and I'll be positive.
Oh, so that's it. So before taking to the podium today, your press secretary said, if Mr. Hart can only just be asked Drake May questions,
exactly,
he'll remain positive today.
I'm a middle-class woman.
save that drop. All right, last call before we go to the top of the hour and then check back in with our friend Mego, who was down the stadium today. Chris is in Rhode Island. How's little Rhodey doing, Chris?
Oh, doing well, thanks. Just made it back from the game.
What'd you think?
You guys win today, because the most entertaining part of my day is listening to your show.
Oh, well, thank you, man. I appreciate that, Chris.
But I'm with you. I'm with you. Drake May was entertaining, but a couple things that were not entertaining. I don't know. You guys haven't talked about the last 2 minutes. I stayed there as it started to rain, thinking, oh, great, I'm going to watch Drake May do a try a two-minute drill at the end of the game. And I don't know what they were... play call and just let it go out. I mean, why do you have him in there if you're not going to let him do stuff like that? And then, and you know what else is not entertaining, you sort of mentioned it, is watching a bunch of refs stand around in a circle talking to themselves and watching them throw flags on exciting plays that, you know, are ticky-tacky or... And that's not fun. Stop throwing flags. I mean, Patriots have to stop breaking the rules, too, I understand, but stop throwing flags all over the place.
Agreed.
I couldn't agree with you more, Chris. Thanks for the call. Yeah, Andy, it got a little flagtastic at one point down there today. Like, I was on the field, so I had a really good POV for those two penalties, those two PIs that were called on the Patriots early in the first quarter, one that ultimately led to that really nice rolling throw from C.J. Stroud to Tank Dell in the back of the end zone. They called it on Mapu, I think. One official also thought Marcus Jones committed PI. Neither of them committed pass interference. Not even
on the one in the end zone?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand the one in the end zone because
at all.
The ball wasn't thrown to the receiver that Mapu was in contact with, so
it was also uncatchable.
But it doesn't matter if it's illegal contact. Should have been illegal contact or holding. It couldn't be pass interference. The ball wasn't in the air yet, and it wasn't thrown to that receiver. So
correct.
I didn't understand that.
So instead
call
of
all.
It being at the one, it would have been half the distance.
Well, get the call right. Well, you have one job, Joe.
They have multiple. No, they have two jobs too. They're all like lawyers and doctors and politicians and all these other various things. And I don't actually think that fixes it. But you people get all worked up like they're trying to screw your team.
Back to you people.
You people realize it's very simple. It's three words about officials in all of sports. They all suck.
Oh.
Oh, am I not supposed to say suck? It
no,
was
you
like
can.
Sunday nights or something?
Oh, no, okay. You went for it because I had to listen to the radio broadcast of the game on my way from Gillette to the studio, and that particular S word was bandied about by the color analyst on the radio broadcast one and many a time.
Yeah, because they're not trying to screw you. Games aren't fixed. They're not doing anything of that nature. They are terrible. Yes, they missed one of the worst face masks you'll ever see.
Holy mackerel, was that bad.
There are 8 officials on the field, I think? Something like that. How did they all not see a guy's head nearly get ripped off?
I think it was BSP13. I think it was Brianna Peary who tweeted out the video of it, and or maybe it was just a still grab. And from this one particular photo, Antonio Gibson's head, Andy, is at a full 90 degrees with a hand pulling the mask. And there's a ref, like, with hands on hips, staring at the play.
And it came shortly after Trent Green had explained there was an illegal hands to the face call. And he's like, well, you can see it here, but officials don't always get to see the hands to the face. They just see the helmet pointing in a weird direction, so they know to call it. And I'm thinking, they didn't think that about Antonio Gibson? Did they think he was freaking Beetlejuice and was checking out what was going on behind him? Like, what the hell are we doing here? So they're just inept. They're bad. Now, there was one that was definitely pass interference. Marcus Jones on Tank Dell over the middle. He hit him early.
Yeah, that
you can't
that
hit a guy early.
No.
Yeah, actually, that doesn't get called sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some other ones. I actually thought Gonzo could have got a PI for the arm over Diggs' shoulder at the pylon down the right sideline that they just let him fight it out and didn't call anything.
Yeah.
But you guys need to realize there was a holding call, I thought, on Gonzo on a little screen run after catch thing. They stink. They all stink. But I'm with the caller. When in doubt, leave the flag in your pocket.
Yeah.
When in doubt, let us watch plays. We want to watch football games. We don't want to watch you 65-year-old jackwagons get together and be like, hey, did you see a penalty? Yeah, I did. That's why I threw it. Wow, you're blind, so I wasn't sure. I had drinks with you last night. You're kind of an idiot.
Oh, he said, last text, and then we'll go to break. 603 texter, the referees actually got an instant replay wrong on a touchdown earlier this week. Do you remember, I got you. That was tonight. No, because I'm thinking back to the Thursday night game where San Francisco and Seattle played. Seattle went to catch the punt. They ended up getting the ball back. On slow-mo replay, you can clearly see the ball lands and the guy's fingers move because it hits it. And yet still they said didn't make contact with the returner, so the ball went back to Seattle. Like, even on the broadcast, Al Michaels and Herbstreit were like, well, you can clearly see. Or Terry McCauley, whoever's doing the special officiating, was like, well, you can clearly see the ball makes contact with his fingers. So they got that one wrong.
But that's why I think we just need to get replay out of there. Because replay, they all miss it.
Right.
The replay guys miss it. You know, the whole thing is so broken. I don't know how you fix it either. I will say the one thing I don't agree with, I saw all these fans, because for some reason, I don't know what happened to my feed. I was bombarded with the face mask calls on Gibson, just like video after video hitting my feed, and I don't know if people are tagging me in it. If you're tagging me, please stop. I don't want it to be in my feed as much as it was. But the refs shouldn't be fined. They blew the call. Like, should Jalen Polk be fined for dropping all those passes he dropped? Should Drake May be fined for the interceptions he threw in the strip sack? No, like, we all screw up in our jobs, and unless you make a really egregious mistake, you shouldn't be fined. They should be graded, and they should not do Super Bowls and postseason games and things of that nature. But why would you fine people for doing their job? You know, now we're going to have to fine everybody. We're going to have to fine Fitzy every time he misspeaks.
Okay, well.
See? All those. Fine, 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 fine. Dollar, 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 dollar.
617-779-7937. We'll be moving on to the third hour of the Six Rings postgame show, checking in with our friend Megan Ottolini, who is down there at the stadium today. She'll have some perspective from the players that she spoke with and more coming up on hour three of the Six Rings postgame show, live here on WEEI.
I'm a middle-class woman.